Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vinny B. And we've had a busy race weekend. Well, maybe not that busy. We had the NHRA back in action for race number 4 of the countdown. And NASCAR's Cup and Xfinity Series. We're out in Las Vegas, Sin City, to continue the playoffs. The Cup Series, this was the inaugural round of 8. So the next 3 races will determine who moves into the final 4. So if 3 different winners in the playoff contention of the round of 8 win, they're in the final 4, and then the 4th one will be on points. And then it all comes down to Phoenix. I remember when it was Homestead, the final event. Ford weekend at Homestead. But NASCAR shuffling the schedule around, so That's kind of how it is now. But NHRA out at the Texas Motorplex for their round four of the countdown. So let's go there and get that all done and out of the way. Not that it's got to get out of the way, but let's see who did what. Austin Prock, number one qualifier. That's kind of weird. Nobody in the semifinal round, but I would assume it would have been Austin Prock and Antron Brown, and then Austin Prock to the finals. And number two qualifier was Clay Milliken. Josh Hart, number nine. He didn't make it past Leah Pruitt. I'm only saying that because he was a guest on the show. And then number 10 qualifier, Justin Ashley, who was on the show as well. He and Doug Kalita faced off. So let's follow Austin's path to the finals and Justin's path to the finals. We said Austin in round one took on Alex Lachlan. Reaction time, 050 to 066 for Lachlan. 373 to a 383, a whole tenth of a second. Not good enough. Take the win light, so Austin Prock moves on to round two up against Leah Pruitt. Her reaction time, 066. Austin's 026. That's pretty darn good for a top fuel dragster. Usually they're in the 0.04s and higher. And she had a 376 with a 4. But if her reaction time was better, it might not have been enough to beat Prock because he had a 373 with a 7, setting the stage for semis. According to this, it would have been Antron and Austin, and I mean there's nothing listed in that one. Nobody ran? That seems kind of weird. So Austin Prock in the finals. Justin Ashley's trip up against Doug Kalita round one, 044 for Justin, 059 for Ashley, 371 for Kalita. That's a good speed. 369 with a 9 for Ashley. He's wanting this bad. Then in round two, up against Kevin, like Kevin with a B instead of a V, Kinsley. And 097 to Ashley's 038. Kinsley, 513 with a 2. And Ashley, a 367 with a 7. Pretty consistent in the 360s. Okay, up in the semis against Sean Langdon. Another guy that's been on the show years ago. We drove for Alan Abbey, drove the dragster. And he left and it was Scott Dixon. And then Alan Abbey had another driver after that and then they went away. Something to do with 9/11, I think, because they were the United Arab Emirates. I guess they were trying to avoid some stuff. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Justin Ashley in 020. Got to be the best reaction time I've seen in a top fuel in all the years I've been covering this. Sean Langdon in 04. Ashley at 368 with a 6. Langdon, a 372 with a 3. Ashley's on fire here. Okay. In the finals, Austin Prock, 038. Then Ashley, 031. Almost dead even. But Prock with issues, 1268. Ashley with a 368 with an 8. 360s all the way through the rounds. That's pretty darn good. Ashley takes the Wally, I think it's his third of the year. Low ET, Justin Ashley, 368 with a 6 in the semis. Best reaction time, 020 and Top Speed Brittany Force. On to the other Nitro round. Funny Car. Finals come down to Matt Hagen and Ron Capps. Matt Hagen, a driver for the newly formed Tony Stewart Racing, with his teammate in the Top Fuel division, Leah Pruitt. Matt Hagen, number one qualifier. Ronnie Capps, where you at, Ron? Number three qualifier. So they had a pretty good run. So let's follow it down. Let's see. Ronnie Capps to the finals. 067 to a 103 against Jeff Deal. 388 to a 434. Give it to Capps. This is a hell of a reaction time. I've never seen this in any Nitro division. Ronnie Capps with an 069. That's not the one I'm talking about. John Force. He's older than me. A 003. That's usually pro stock or pro stock bike reaction. But it's a shame because he had a 404 with a 5. Capps had a 388 with a 5. So Ronnie moves on to the semis against John Force's teammate and son-in-law and team president, Robert Height, who's looking for another championship. We'll get to all the points after I'm done all the recaps. Robert Height, 056. Ronnie Capps, 036. 389 for Capps, 748 for Height. I guess they had some tire issues, didn't get the clutch dialed in, because that's usually what happens. Now against teammates facing each other. It's a shame, because this is about as close as you're going to get. 033 for Matt Hagen. 035 for Capps. 392 with a 3 for Hagen. 391 with a 1 for Capps. So you're looking at if you had to combine the two, the reaction time with the ET, it would have been a 395 with a 6. 394 with a 6. That's how close it was. 1/100th of a second at the line apart. Now, it was still 1/100th of a second no matter what. So, give it to Capps. Hagen just a hair behind. Low ET, Bob Tasca, 385. Best reaction time, John Force. Top speed, 338 mile an hour. Give it to Hagen. All righty. Pro stock. This has been an interesting series for the non-Nitro divisions. Finals come down to Erica Enders. Greg Anderson. Greg Anderson and Erica Enders have a history because her first ever pro stock win came against Greg Anderson. And before that happened, when they were talking to him, he said he didn't want to be that guy, meaning the guy that lost for her first win. He was that guy. So, what that tells me, there's a little bit of fun going on there, a little rivalry. I think he right now is 7-time pro stock champion. I think the most is Bob Glidden, who since retired and passed away. Erica Enders, number one qualifier. There's old Greggy. Oh, come on, Greggy. Number six qualifier. All right, being I'm stuck at this part of the ladder, or I'm at this part of the ladder, we'll take it this way. Greg Anderson against Mason McGahey. 022 for Anderson. 029 for McGahey. That's pretty darn close. But Where it comes down to is Anderson had a 656 with a 6. McGahey a 660 with a 2. Close but no cigar. Anderson moves to round 2. Up against Christian Quadra. Quadra with an 061. Anderson with an 035. There's a 300. Three one-hundredth of a second advantage for Anderson. So that helps. On the ET end, it's a 658 Quadra and a 656 with a 5 for Anderson. So they're on both counts. And he moves into the semis against Aaron Stanfield. 036 for Anderson, 051 for Stanfield. And, you know, 2/100ths of a difference might have made a difference. Because Stanfield had a 657 with a 5. And Anderson had a 656 with an 8. Anderson again takes both, but Stanfield would have had a better reaction time, like in the 01s. Probably would have got that on a hole shot. All right, let's check out Erica Enders. I did wish her, congratulate her on her win and so on, but I guess I haven't heard back from her, but she's probably busy. All righty, round 1. Fernando Quadra Jr. up against Erica. 017 for Quadra. Pretty good. 040 for Erica. But Erica had a 653 with a 9. Quadra with a 666 with an 8. Erica moves on to round 2 against Matt Hartford. Hartford, who I guess beat former guest of ours, Camry Caruso. She's a rookie. She's just getting used to things. Give her time. Anyway, 026 for Erica, 654 with a 1. Hartford, red light, 053, minus 053. No contest there. Once the red light goes off, Hartford just 0.5. In the semis, Erica against teammate Troy Coughlin. 037 for Erica, 034 for Troy. But the ET, Erica was had a clean run at 656 with a 1. Troy not so much with a 6, with a 6, with a 782 with a 9. Now we come down to Erica versus Greg. Greg Anderson, 047. Erica Enders, 035. Greg Anderson, 654 with a 7. That's a pretty good time. But Erica Enders, 653 with a 7. So 1/100th better on the ET. 1/100th better on the reaction. Give it to Erica. Her 9th win of the season. Maybe 8th. I think she was 8th the last time or was looking for her 8th the last time. Either way, 8th or 9th, Erica is on fire this year. Let's check the bikes. Motorcycle. Hector Arana Jr. versus Jerry Savoy. I've had Hector Arana Jr. on years ago when he was just barely starting out. So started off against Chip Ellis, was a 6th qualifier. Beat him 691 with a, to 693, but Hector quicker off the line with an 02 to Ellis' 08. Then up against Angie Smith, 049 off the line for Hector, 096 off the tree for Smith. 692 to a 771. Give it to Hector. And after beating Angie Smith, goes up against defending champ, her husband, Matt Smith. 025 to 030 for Hector. Give him the advantage there. And then 688 with a 7 for Hector and a 659 with a 5 for Smith. Jerry Savoie. Where's Jerry at? Jerry. Follow the ladder back. Number 9th qualifier. Take on Mark Ingerson. With an 019 to an 020 reaction and a 688 for Ingerson, 686. Savoie, that's a close one. And then in round two is an 027 for Savoie, 069 for Oler, Ryan Oler, 687 for Savoie, 704 for Oler, Savoie easy. And then 065. For Savoie, 028. For Johnson, 687 with a 4, same time as he had in round 2. But Steve Johnson had a 701 with a 4. So that off-the-tree advantage did not pay off. He would have got close to that. He could have had a 689. Still beat Savoie with a hole shot. And the finals, Savoie, 026, 689. In 057 for Hector Arana, off the tree, 689 for Savoie. I just said that. 682 was a 2 for Arana, give him the win. It was probably a lot closer at the finish line with the 0-3 on the reaction difference. On the Savoie side, he had the advantage. Steve Johnson did have the low ET. Chris Bostic, the best reaction time, a 001. That's almost, like, perfect. And Angie Smith had top speed at 200.77 miles an hour. Let's check the standings. Alrighty. Unofficial standings right now. It's coming down to, well, actually, I'll say 3 drivers, maybe 4. Justin Ashley with his win holds down the top spot with an 82-point advantage over Brittany Force. Antron Brown in third is 84 back. So there's a close battle between Brittany and Antron. Fourth place, Steve Torrance is 96 back. Two to go. I'm thinking Ashley's got to finish at least to the semis the next couple of races. And he will probably finish somewhere in the top 4. Mike Salinas, 118 back, I think, their way up. Josh Hart in 6th, 160 back, 147 back. Another former guest. In the funny car, here's a close battle here. It's going to be a fight to the finish. Robert Height has a 10-point advantage over Ronnie. Matt Hagen, 78 back, has an outside chance, but then John Force in 4th, 137 back, and he might climb a spot or two, a spot, but it's going to come down, and this is going to be a battle, I think, till the last round of the last event in Pomona. So it's 10 points. It can go either way. You know, you qualify number 1, you get some points. You qualify, I guess, 1 through 3, you get points. 3, 2, and 1. And then, you know, 10 or 20 per winning the round, and then 10 if you don't. So Robert Height would have to get all the way. I'd say they both have to. If they stayed where they at and both came down to either making it to the semis, they'd have to make it to the finals against each other. But it's coming down to those two. Everybody else just running for the trophy. In the pro stock, I'd say this one's locked up with two to go. Erica Enders, with her win, is a 163-point lead over Aaron Stanfield. And then a 195-point lead over Greg Anderson. So I'm looking at Erica walking off. If she didn't clinch it, I'm surprised, because I don't think anybody could make up that kind of ground in two events unless she just didn't show up. Now, there was one season where she had locked up first place in the countdown and didn't run the last two events due to financial reasons, but she wound up coming back and winning that championship. She's the talentedest, most talented drag racer, female drag racer out there right now. I know Angel Sampaio on the bikes has more wins and three championships, so you can't discredit that, but Erica is didn't start as soon as Angel did, so she's made a lot of headway from when she started to now. She's the first ever woman pro stock champion. I don't know if she's the first ever woman pro stock event winner, but that's possible. History breaker. All right, in the bikies. Matt Smith has a 51-point lead over Joey Gladstone and a 103-point lead over Jerry Savoy. It's probably coming down to just Gladstone and Smith with two to go, so if I had to pick right now, I'd say Matt Smith, but you never know. Things can happen. All right, what did I see to make his pro stock motorcycle debut in Texas? His name is Richard Gadsden. Now, that being said, Ricky Gadsden had a Ricky Gadsden on. He drove for another division on a motorcycle. Highly touted motorcycle drag racer Richard Gadsden. He used to go by Ricky, and he was from Camden, New Jersey. He was on my show years ago. It's not the guy I had on. He's the nephew of Ricky Gadsden. Does run in the blood. Actually, Ricky was from Sicklerville, New Jersey. I've had him on a couple of times. Back in the old WNJC days. So, that being said, let's check out the schedule. Our next event. Will be Halloween weekend. Is Halloween the Monday this year? Yep. At the Strip in Las Vegas. October 27th through the 30th. You can get tickets now. Nah. If you live out there, you can't. If I lived out there, well, I'd be going for credentials. And then the Auto Club Finals in Pomona. 2 weeks after that to wrap up the season. So there you go. Two events to go. That's why I said I think Erica's got this one locked up. All righty, let's go to NASCAR. We have audio from a Kurt Busch announcement. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
I want to thank everyone for being here today. I'm Jeff Motley, Vice President of Communications for the Speedway, and happy to be here with a guy that called a friend and a buddy for 23 years and our hometown hero, Kurt Busch. And, Kurt, I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Motley, first of all, it's great to see all of you here, our family, my village. Great to be part of everything back. And, you know, 28 years ago, I stood here in this area of the desert, literally, and took a glamour shot with my race car that I built with my dad and family. Racing's all I've ever known. My passion, work ethic, my persistence helped me reach all the dreams kid could dream of. There's not one reason why, or one person, or one circumstance made a stronger difference than another. That's taken everything and everyone. With that said, I know I'm not 100% my ability to go out and race at the top level of the NASCAR Cup Series. These are the best of the best drivers. Lately, I haven't felt my best. The doctors have come to the conclusion that it's best for me to shut it down for this season. And even though I've made solid gains, working with all the top specialists and the team at Toyota Performance Center, I'm still not 100%, still not cleared to race. As I continue to focus on my health towards being cleared, I'll be stepping away from full-time NASCAR Cup Series competition in 2023. My long-term health is priority number one, and I don't feel committing at this point to compete for a championship next year is in my best interest or the best interest. I've thoroughly enjoyed working with 2311, this team of wonderful professionals. I appreciate their support, what they've shown me over the last few months. I will continue to work with this. I want to share my wisdom and knowledge and everything that I've gained with my unofficial PhD in this garage area. It deserves to stay with 2311. We're building something special here, and I look forward to continue to work with Bubba Wallace off the track, as well as Tyler Reddick, who will join the team next year to drive the number 45 Toyota. I'll continue to be a brand ambassador with Monster Energy for my family. Our fraternity of and sorority of athletes from around the world are the best of the best. Monster Energy and I have been together for over a decade, conquering the world and lifestyle in a can. Toyota and TRD will remain part of my future as well. They've embraced me like a long-lost brother, and I'm grateful for their support. We will continue to go places together. To all the NASCAR fans, I can't thank you enough for your support through the journey this year and all the years. Your notes and words of encouragement meant a lot to me. I've also been blessed throughout my career to race with so many great teams, teammates, and sponsors. All those people I've met along the way have made the journey up to now that much more special. I'm still competitive, passionate, and I want to continue to perform at my core values and to give back to a community that has been my life since I left Las Vegas to pursue a professional racing career over 22 years ago. Next year, my contributions to racing may look a little different, but I'll continue to give my best to this sport. And if I'm cleared, maybe you'll see me at a few select races.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to take a few questions. Raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. Jerry, right here first.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. In coming to this decision, obviously this is not a goodbye, but more of a, you know, looking at your future. How hard was this, and what is your message to the fans out there?
Yeah, again, having the accident on track and then not having a set timeline or a set path for recovery with a concussion, it turns into other things as well with emotions. Timelines seem to have shrunk up as far as what going to happen next year? Well, it's like, well, I should be better by now, and I haven't been clear. So this is more of being unselfish, respecting what has to happen in this industry as to know how to make a team move forward. I believe in 2311 and here. And for me, I will get back to 100%. I promise. Great team of specialists. Toyota Performance Center has been wonderful. I will keep pushing myself, my health, to get back that priority first. Then we can decide about racing afterwards. Tremendous support with the fans, team, sponsors, in this village. Heartwarming. Thank you, guys.
They have Kurt Busch announcing he will not be competing full-time due to health reasons for the concussion he had. He hasn't been in a car since, hasn't been cleared to race. So, you know, he clobbered his noggin pretty good. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be in a car for special event. He's just not going to run full-time. And, you know, you could understand it. He is, what do you say, 22 years ago he started. Doesn't seem like that long. I mean, 22, this is 2022. This is the year 2000. Remember him winning a Winston Cup? Or was it the first? It was Kansas, I think, won the last Winston Cup, or Kurt won the last Winston Cup. And then the next year, the other one won the first Nextel Cup. That's before it became the Sprint Cup. But anyway, Kurt Busch not full-time, the health reasons, but, you know. And I think I saw where he was the last full-time driver to race or compete in the same, you know, with Dale Earnhardt. Of course, Hart passed away in 2001. So, and that was in the Daytona 500. So, what can we say? Good. Kurt, well, you know, you got your plan ahead. Good you're staying with 2311. And let's see how everything turned out this weekend. Xfinity. Saturday. Osco Uniforms 302. Race number 30. Winner of the race, number 8, Josh Berry. Stage positions 9 and 6. I think you get points up till 10th spot in the thing, but he did not lead. Win a stage, so he only gets 5 playoff points, but he is a playoff contender and did, with the win, locked into the next round. Noah Gragson is second. Justin Allgaier, third. Ty Gibbs, fourth. Trevor Bayne, fifth. Austin Hill, sixth. Sam Mayer, seventh. Eighth, Daniel Hemric. Out of the playoffs. And it's his sponsor that sponsored the race. Ninth was Brandon Jones. And 10th was Anthony Alfredo. And Anthony Alfredo was not in the playoffs. 201 laps. Your stage winners were Gragson, won stage 2, and Ty Gibbs won stage 1. Average speed, 145 miles per hour. Margin of victory, 1.125 seconds. And the race was 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 14 seconds. Curry won the fifth running. It was his fifth victory in the Xfinity Series. three cautions for 15 laps, 14 lead changes amongst nine drivers. Check the points. Noah Gragson leads the points. Ty Gibbs is second. Justin Allgaier is third. Josh Berry fourth. Austin Hill fifth. Allmendinger sixth. Brandon Jones seventh. And Sam Mayer is eighth. They're the top eight running for the next round of four, which will be in Phoenix. All righty. Let's check our winner, what he had to say.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by the winner of the Alsco Uniforms 302, Josh Berry, driver the number 8, Harrison's USA Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Today, big day for you, Josh. So not only did you win the race, you clinched the manufacturer's title for Chevrolet. You collected win number 500 in the series for Chevrolet, and you punched your ticket to the championship for Phoenix. Walk us through everything that means to you today.
Yeah, just truly really, really special. When I started on this journey and figured out and found out I was going to run full-time this year, we all sat down at the beginning of the year and said that our goal was to make the championship four. We felt like we were capable of that. We knew what we could do. We knew there would be bumps along the road in my first full season, but we believed in our hearts that we could be at Phoenix. And to accomplish a goal like that, it's just really hard to put into words what that really means when you work day in and day out to be at this level and be better each and every day to be able to accomplish something like that is truly amazing. And, there's still a lot of work ahead of us. So, we want to get three other junior motorsports cars to Phoenix, and we want to get ready to go to Phoenix and have the opportunity to go win a championship.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. We will start with Zach, and we'll go to Jeff.
Zach Sterniel with NASCAR.com. Josh, congrats on the win. You smacked the wall pretty good there off turn four, battling for the lead there with Allmendinger. Were you afraid that was going to ruin the handling of the car? Did you notice anything wrong initially?
Yeah, I was definitely worried, but, I just kind of, AJ left me just a lane and nothing more, and we were a little bit tight off of four all day, and it just, like I said, just ran out of real estate. But, I've raced since I was 8 years old. Work day in and day out, like I said, to be here at this level, there was no way I was going to back out. So I felt like that was the opportunity. If we got out front, that we could control the race. We had a lot of speed for about 30, 35 laps each run. It was shaping up to be ours to lose. We just had to get out front, get the clean air, and, it's that important in these races. And, thankfully the good Lord kept all our tires inflated and all our pieces together.
We'll go to Jeff and then Daniel.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic over here. This journey for you, especially the last few years, to go from, you're going to get a shot in some decent Xfinity stuff, and now, full-time, and now all of a sudden Final Four for the Xfinity Series, and especially without, having a bunch of money to throw around and buy your way in. As you think about the situation where you are now compared to a few years ago, how can you get your head around that?
It's just hard to really put into words. I'm just so thankful for the people that I have around me. Obviously, everybody at Junior Motorsports with, Dale, Kelly, LW Miller, they've been huge supporters of mine. Obviously, Mr. H and Hendrick Motorsports, everything they do for us. And, I just feel very, very lucky. At the end of the day, we look at it, I got this opportunity in the Xfinity Series, part-time last year and then now full-time this year, statistically in the best season Junior Motorsports has ever had, right? Our cars are the fastest, the best. Noah and Justin and Sam and I, we just had a ton of speed. And I'm just so lucky. A lot of this stuff's just about timing sometimes. And, I know I'm a little older, but, man, I would I would do it all over again for a day like today.
Good. Daniel, and then the time.
Daniel McFadden, Speed Sport. Josh, it's been a while since you'd actually led laps, and I think since New Hampshire where you even led double-digit laps. What kinks have you and the number 8 team been, like, working out over these last few months?
Yeah, it's been hard to say. I mean, I think part of it, to be honest, is the schedule was super diverse there through the summer. You know, you got lots of road courses, super speedways. We just kind of lost our rhythm throughout that. You know, obviously the road course race, and I hadn't been to any of those tracks, so we knew that was going to be an uphill battle. I mean, we knew that was something that we were going to kind of bleed out on, but it actually ended up being pretty solid. And then you take the first round of the playoffs, and, you know, we knew what we had to do to advance here, but we really, when we looked at the schedule, we knew if we could make it to this round, Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville would be three great opportunities for us, and we just had to be at our best. And, you know, today I'm not going to say we're at our complete best potential, but we had a really fast race car and executed when it counted.
Tom, the Nimbom.
Tom Zaleski, Iron County Today. Josh, last year you won here in the fall. This year you won here in the fall. How is this win similar to last year? How is it different?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one way, you know, I'm with the same race team that I had last year. You know, this was the one team last year. So basically I'm riding the same car that I won with here last year, actually. And, so we just knew that was going to be a great opportunity for us for whatever reason. You know, my team has done a really good job here. Even when, you know, before, when they had Michael, he had really good runs here. So we just knew this was a great opportunity for us. And it just seems like, you know, it was kind of similar to what we experienced in the fall. Like, we didn't really have a ton of speed early, but just as the race went on, we just got better and better and better as the track rubbered up. And like I said, we were fast when it counted.
Bob Hocker, Fox Sports. If you mess up that move or it ends your day, you're probably looking at a must-win at Homestead or Martinsville. Obviously, you were below the cut line coming in. So I'm curious, like, how much are you weighing risk versus reward at that point?
In the heat of the moment, I mean, it's hard to really even say, you know, I mean, I would still call it a mistake on my part getting in the fence like that, but like I said, I wasn't going to let off. So, I mean, it's just kind of, it's hard, right? Like, it's fate sometimes, you know. Sometimes you hit the wall barely and you have a flat tire, and sometimes you kill it and you're fine. So it's just, you know, it's just how it goes sometimes. I'd be kicking myself if we had a flat tire, but luckily that didn't happen.
Go to Justin and Zach.
Justin Schuler, Kicking the Tires. First off, congratulations, Josh. But you've had a lot of success in the Cars Tour as well, and now we're starting to see that get transferred right over to the Xfinity Series. So over the years, like, what has it been that you've been able to figure out these cars and figure out these tracks so quickly to be able to go out and not just dominate, but maybe sneak in, kind of like you did on that final restart, taking advantage of the 16 and 10 getting together and then just sliding right through to walk away?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been really fortunate to view Junior Motorsports have great race cars, you know, spend a long time building my own race cars and racing myself and really having the time of my life. And I never thought that I would be at this level and have this opportunity, but, you know, I quickly figured out that, you know, under the right circumstances that I could compete. And I still feel like I got a lot to learn and a lot to improve on. But days like today surely help.
There you have your winner, Josh Berry, driver 8 for Junior Motorsports. All righty, let's take a look at the Cup results. Round 1 of the round of 8. Here goes. Who do we have? Do we have a... Oh, you already know. I know you already know. Say, do we have a spoiler or a playoff contender winning? But we have a playoff contender winning. Joey Logano takes the first W in this round, a lock into the final four. Ross Chastain, second. Kyle Busch, third. Chase Briscoe, fourth. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Tyler Reddick, sixth. Seventh is Martin Truex Jr. Eric Jones is eighth. A.J. Allmendinger, ninth. And rounding out the top 10 is Austin Dillon. So there's four of the top 10 of the playoff contenders. William Byron, 13th. Chase Elliott, 21. And then Christopher Bell, who was involved in a wreck, 34th. And Ryan Blaney at 28th. Of course, the race with where Christopher Bell got wrecked involved Kyle Larson and Bubba Wallace. And there was some pushing and shoving. And I guess nobody was called at a hauler afterward. Bubba Wallace did win stage one. He was, but he finished 36th. And Ryan Blaney finished 28th. He won stage two. On race number 33. B to go, I think. Yep. So. Yeah, three to go. Wow. I think we have Homestead. Probably Martinsville and then Phoenix. We'll check the schedule in a minute. Go to the points. See how we look now. Round of eight. Joey Logano with the win moves on. He leads the points. Ross Chastain is second. Chase Elliott is third. Denny Hamlin fourth. William Byron fifth. Chase Briscoe sixth. Ryan Blaney seventh. And on the bubble, Christopher Bell. Kyle Larson was eliminated, I think, last round. So, two rounds ago. But anyway, that's how it looks as far as playoff points go. Depending on who wins the next two is who winds up in. But you could always have that spoiler, which would make it two guys on points instead of one. Anyway, let's go hear from the winner, but it's the whole team. Let's hear from some of the winning team.
If I can have your attention, everybody, we're going to go ahead and roll into our post-race press conference today's fifth annual South Point 400 here at Las Vegas Speedway. We're joined now on stage by the winning crew chief today, Paul Wolf, the number 20 Royal Ford. Paul, this is your fifth win here as a crew chief. Your second here with Joey Logano, but none more sweeter than today, punching your ticket to the championship four. Walk us through that.
Yeah, talked to him after. I thought I'd only won four times. Thanks for reminding me it was five. I got Joey and I had won already once. It was obviously turned out to be a great day, not without adversity. Honestly, going into the race today, we weren't confident in what we were going to have. Really worked hard every the Homestead test there a few weeks back to try to get our mile and a half program better. Made gains on that. Both this track's unique, high speed bumps you have to deal with. So had a little work to do after practice adjustments. Okay. Car heads, all the teams. But our issue on pit road, we also had to use a strategy to execute. We're all proud of the effort, obviously. Joey drove today, kept the car clean.
Great. And we're also joined here by Michael Nelson, the president of NASCAR operations for Team Penske. Michael, just a really strong day overall, exciting finish. What does this mean to be the first to punch the ticket?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. This is the race that you want to win. You want to peak at the right time. Had good cars today, fast cars, and the guys are really hungry. We haven't been exactly where we wanted to be. You know, we've just been chipping away at it every week, and you know, Texas was a little better, and obviously this race was better as well. And so, yeah, I mean, so thankful to be in that final race, and it really gives you a chance to focus on that race and takes a little bit of pressure off.
Deal. We're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you.
And there you have the head of Penske and Paul Wolf, who actually, believe it or not, was Brad Keselowski's crew chief when Brad drove for Team Penske. So, that being said, this weekend coming up, we have all three back in action. All at Homestead, we have the Camping World Truck Series, Baptist World 200, Saturday at 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. 4:30 p.m. on Saturday on USA Network, we have the Contender Boats 300. And Sunday on regular NBC, we have the Dixie Vodka 400, 2:30. So there's your three NASCAR events for the weekend. Let's see when, yeah, I was right. After Homestead, we go to Martinsville. And then after Martinsville, the final event for Phoenix. Final Four has a shot at a champion. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vinny B. Go check out a former guest of the show has getting her own talk show, which premieres this weekend. If you're in the Philly area, it is on 860 AM WWDB. And her name is Doreen Taylor, and she'll be co-hosting with Pete Trabucco on what's called Take Two. I was hoping to get one of them on this week to promote it because, you know, from my old neck of the woods, Doreen's been on the show before. He's busy, otherwise she probably would have been on. And so she said to get in touch with him. I did, but he never got back, so his loss. Doesn't get the DTL effect. So outside of that, we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.